Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read one verse this morning. That's verse 13. I'll read it aloud as you read silently. But as our custom is, when we read one verse, then we'll read together the second time through in unison. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Now let's read that together, please. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, the powerful word of God. Thank you for what it does in our lives. Today we'd ask that you would make it effective in our lives as we hear the preacher come this morning. God, help us to hear what it has for us today. God, work in our lives. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, we pray that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him to help us today. And, Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray today they would settle that before they leave this room. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, here comes the cell phone warning. Make sure that it is turned off or to vibrate. Check now and be sure that it is. If it goes off in the service and we hear it, your number will automatically change to Harold Camping's number. And you're going to get all the phone calls he deserves. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 this morning. Last week, we talked to you about settling doubts about salvation, your salvation. This morning I want to talk to you about something very much along that lines. It has to do with settling doubts, settling your doubts about the Bible. Just this week alone, you have seen a lack of understanding of the Bible and an ignorance of the Bible and how it has impacted people's lives. Harold Camping, this preacher down there, Reverend, whatever this guy is now. Years ago, the guy actually had some sense, and somewhere along the way, the cheese fell out of his sandwich. And for the third time, he's predicted the return of Christ, and he's missed it all three times. And the law, I think they call that three strikes and you're out. But the truth is, the Bible is very clear. No man knows the hour or the day. Not even the Son of Man. Jesus, who is returning, does not have the day and the hour yet himself. It's in the Father's hands. Now, if God hasn't told Jesus, he's not going to tell you, and he's not going to tell me. It's that simple. But now, I was thinking about the people who divested themselves of all of their money, their buildings, their homes, to give him money so he could put billboards up all over the world to promote this thing. And I thought initially, poor people. Then I thought, no, if they understood their Bible, they'd know this guy was a nut, leave him alone, and just go on and do what they're supposed to do. So that's an example. The other example is Stephen Hawking. This man's a brilliant physicist. His disease has ravaged his body, but his mind is functional to some degree. And now his statement is, being a man of science, and a man of reasoning and understanding, and a physicist, he says that there is no heaven. That is for people who are afraid of the dark and this kind of stuff. Now, both he and I know, and so do you, that we don't know for sure there is a heaven. We know the Bible says there is. And I'm not afraid of anybody's darkness. But I would hate to think that someone lived their life and just their only hope was that when you die, your brain shuts down like a computer and that's the end of it. But it's not out of fear that I believe there's a heaven. It's because this book told me there's a heaven. And Jesus said there was. And I'll take Jesus over a physicist any day of the week. But again, the answer isn't, do we disagree with someone's belief or their doctrine, their teaching or whatever. Again, the answer is this. Do you know what the Bible says? See, this morning I'm going to do something that you're not supposed to do on a Sunday morning. I'm going to give you a very in-depth theological lesson that should resolve all doubts about the Bible and that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, you're not supposed to do in-depth theological stuff unless you're one of these deeper lifer churches that goes down deep and comes up with no life. And you're not supposed to do things like that. But I'm going to this morning. So I'm going to warn you in advance. This is very deep theological thought. I have a 4-year earned degree. I have an honorary doctorate. So you're talking to Dr. Michael R. Johnson this morning. I'm going to get really deep on this thing. I want you to stay with me. We're going to go way down there. We're going to go through the halls of theology and the depth of our understanding. And I'm going to bring that to you this morning. And when you leave, if you get it, and I hope you do, so I know you're intelligent people, if you get this deep theological lesson, you'll leave today with no doubts that when you hold in your hands the Word of God, you have in fact and indeed God's Word in your hand. And we can settle this thing about doubt. See, look, we have in our church today and in most churches, there's a group of people call themselves Bible-believing Christians. But I've come to find out that most Christians believe the Bible to a point. To a degree, they believe it up until something happens. And then, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. I'm not sure I believe that. Most people's problems today when it comes to the Bible is a simple problem of ignorance. And it's not an insulting term. Ignorance doesn't mean stupid. Ignorance means lacking knowledge in a certain area. And we are all ignorant in certain areas. You agree? I know we hate to admit that, but it's true. We are all ignorant. My favorite illustration is the Aborigines in Australia, out in the outback. They know of a certain toad that burrows itself under a certain bush out there in the desert where it rains less than an inch a year total. And this toad holds moisture liquid in its body to survive. They know where the bush is and where to find these toads. They'll dig down there, pull the toad out, and squeeze the toad juice out of this thing to get the liquid that they need out in the middle of nowhere. Now, I would like to say to that area, I will remain ignorant for the rest of my life. I don't really care to drink toad juice, okay? But the point is, they know things that you do not know and you wouldn't last 3 days in the outback. They live there and that's their life. You understand the difference between ignorance and stupid? Stupid is telling Israel to move their borders back to 1967. That is stupid. Ignorance is lacking knowledge in certain areas, okay? I had to get that in there. That's been cooking my grits for 4 days. But anyway, the point is this. See, ignorance in the Word of God, dear people, ignorance means we lack knowledge in the Bible. But can I ask you a question? Whose fault is that? How many of you this morning, how many of you today, you have a Bible? If you have it with you, or your iPhone, whatever you got there, hold it up there. How many have a Bible this morning? Hold it up there. How many of you this morning, if you don't have one with you, you have one at home? Hold your hand up along. Keep your Bibles up now. It's good exercise. How many of you have? You don't have one with you today? You have one at home. Okay, now question. Now you can put your hands down. Now the truth of the matter is we have access to the Word of God, the Bible. So if there's ignorance in the area of the Bible for this room this morning, that's not God's fault. True? We have one. So we have access to it. Then the important thing about the Bible is this. This is very deep, and this will go along with the great theological treatise I'm about to deliver. As the old black preacher said, I'm going to walk you down the halls of theology and hang a few pictures today. As we go down this great hall of theology to talk about the Word of God, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that book right there is of absolute no use when it just sits there. Doesn't do you any good. You can own 52 copies of it if you want to. But the truth is, we need to understand that if we have doubts about the Bible, there is a way to resolve those doubts this morning. Now, in your verse we read this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I need you to hold your Bibles open to that verse. These Thessalonican Christians here had been led to Christ by the Apostle Paul. He sent them a letter God had given him. And it's the book of Thessalonians to the Thessalonican Christians. Okay? I told you we're getting deep in theology. Now stay with me. He sent them this letter. God gave it to Apostle Paul. Paul wrote it exactly as God told him to write it. And he sent them this letter to this church. Verse 13 of chapter 2, he says this, "And for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Do you know when they got their letter, those Thessalonican Christians, when they got their letter from the Apostle Paul, they didn't get a letter from Paul. They didn't think it was Paul's letter. They thought it was God's word. They believed that. Now look, nobody in that day had a complete Bible in their hands. Nobody. These, for all we know, those Christians in Thessalonica, all they had was that letter. That's all they had. That which Paul sent them. But when they read it, they said, "That's not just from Paul, that's God's word." Now, here's the deep theological lesson this morning. We're going to follow their simple pattern that they left us for having received from God what they believed was God's word. And it effectually worked in them. We're going to follow their pattern to settle all our doubts about the Bible this morning. Deep theological point number one, to settle all doubts about the Bible. Here it is. Are you ready? Now stay with me. Hear it. Hear it. When he says there, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us." See, the Bible tells us in Romans 10 and verse number 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Twice hearing is emphasized in that verse over faith. You know what's happening this morning? Look, it's 10 minutes to 12. Actually, 12 minutes to 12. I have 12 minutes to finish this sermon before all the Baptist juices kick in and we get hungry and we're ready for lunch. And you start thinking, did you set the right temperature on the pot roast back? There's something right about roast and potatoes and carrots for Sunday afternoon lunch. Unless it's anything else. Because all the rest of it works too, yes? Before we start thinking about new, I got 12 minutes to get this whole sermon in this morning. It's not going to happen. I just wanted you to know I had 12 minutes. The truth is, this morning, we're already 45 minutes into this service, and some of you still look like calves eyeing a new gate. You're still not dialed in today. We're still not listening. Now look, we can stand up here and preach the Bible all day long. You can sit home and read it, and just read it, and 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 get nothing from the Word of God until you hear what the Word of God has to say. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul said to those Thessalonians, he said, when you received from us what you heard, he said, then you believed it was God's word. But you had to hear it first. Now that means this. Look at me. You need to listen to the Bible. Hear the Bible for yourself. Well, I don't always understand everything that's in here. Like the genealogies in Chronicles. Job, Abigat, Nebab, Abigat, Rebab, and all those names you never heard in your cotton-picking life and you'll never hear again. They're in a Joe, a Bob, or a Willie in a bunch. I mean, there are some of the strangest names you've ever read in the Bible. Agreed? You read that before and thought, what in the world is that all about anyway? What is that for? It doesn't make. And then when the invading Assyrian army was about to capture Jerusalem, and the Bible said, and the next morning, God, the angel of the Lord, went out into the camp, and the next morning they all woke up dead. I thought, yeah, that's me every morning. I wake up dead. There's no question about that. I read things in the Bible and I thought, I don't understand that. It doesn't make the 6-day creation of 24-hour periods. I've read it. You've read it. We know what it says. Question, did you hear what it told you? Did you hear that when God said the sun went up and the sun went down, that was a day? Did you get the picture? That wasn't a million years. That was one day, just like every day's been ever since then. Did you hear it, though? That's the point. Listen to me. The Bible will always be just a book to you, no different than any other book you've ever read, no different than anything that's ever been written by mankind, religious or otherwise, until you honestly, genuinely open your ears and your heart and listen to what God's Word says. We're a generation of people who do not know how to listen any longer. There's so much noise and so much junk going on in our lives today that we're not listening anymore. But forget about life and forget about anything else. Let's talk about this book, ladies and gentlemen. Look at me. This book will mean nothing to you until you honestly, genuinely, sincerely, open-heartedly listen to what it says. Whether it's preached to you or you read it personally, you cannot receive from the Bible what you need until you hear what the Word of God has to say. Hear the simple, clear truth and principles of the Bible. We come to the Bible, we have questions in our mind about things. Well, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. Never mind. Listen to what God's Word has to say. Hear it, receive it, listen to it. That's why Jesus said, the most often repeated statement in His preaching was this: he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Some of you this morning, you're out there in la-la land somewhere. A lot of it has to do with my generation and younger having grown up with television and watching a lot of television. How much is that? Too much. The fact that that box does all your thinking for you. So we don't even hear half of what goes on. Don't listen to most of what is said. I'll have people go out the door on a given Sunday and thank me for a message I never preached. A truth I never presented. And tell me how much they appreciated that message. And I always think to myself, did I pass out? Did I black out? Did something happen? And sometimes I'll get a CD and I'll listen to it. And I'll think, did I say that? I mean, I'm the first guy to admit I'll say things I shouldn't say. Shut up. I'll say things I shouldn't say. I'll be the first one to admit that. I know the rapture didn't happen because I'm still here. I don't know about him. But the truth is, I'll say things I shouldn't say. No question about that. So that part. But sometimes doctrinally, someone will say, well, Pastor, you said so-and-so. And I think, wow, if I said that was completely wrong. And I'll go back and listen to the entire sermon. It wasn't even mentioned one time. Because, look at me, because we're not hearing like we should. You mean to tell me all I have to do is listen to the Bible? I didn't say that. I said hear it. We have to sit down and take our Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, open it up as it is in fact and in truth, the Word of God, and listen to what it tells you. Otherwise, we're like parents who are talking to children who don't pay attention. And we say, are you listening? Are you listening? Did you hear me? Are you listening to me? Did you hear what I just told you? Can we do that with our children? Can you imagine what God in heaven is doing today? Looking down at us and say, didn't you hear what I told you? He wrote it down for us to have it. That you may think, well, that's something anyone can do, but that's the blessing of it. The blessing is this: to settle any doubt you have about the Bible, you need to honestly listen to what it says. One of the greatest testimonies I have ever heard about the power of the Word of God came from a young man when we were in Belarus, over near Russia. This young man named Wiley, he was raised a Muslim in Nigeria in Africa. Taught by his parents the Muslim religion and told that if he ever left it, they'd kill him, disown him, and kill him if they got the chance. So he is raised a Muslim in Nigeria, Africa. His father gets a job in Belarus. Belarus to this very day is still a communist country. So the main religion of Belarus is atheism. It has a religion, atheism. It takes more faith to believe there's no God than to believe there is one. Now he moves, a Muslim raised in Nigeria, Africa, he moves to Belarus. And there, living in the city of Minsk, he's reading his Quran, and he's thinking to himself, something just doesn't seem right. And he said, I want to know what's the truth here. I want to know God. I want to be sure I got this right. So someone suggests he read the Bible. So he took the Bible and he began to read it. Now please listen. While this young Muslim man in a communist country is reading the Bible with no faith, no belief, nothing, looking for errors and mistakes, problems and difficulties so he can criticize the Christian religion and faith and those who believe the Bible. He said, I read the whole Bible. I got nothing out of it. See, what we like to think is he read the Bible by accident and got saved. That's not true. But he said, I began to look at my Quran and the Bible that I read. He said, I got nothing out of either one of them. And he said, I found I had no faith in either one. But he said, I wanted to know God and I wanted to know what was right. And he said, when my attitude, my heart, my thinking was, I want to know the truth. He said, then I began to read the Bible. And I began to see and understand things better. Listen, he said, I walked across a square in Minsk in Belarus, communist country, raised a Muslim. And a Christian stopped him and gave him a gospel tract and witnessed to him and led him to Christ. Now, this is a young man who knows nothing. He knows nothing about the Bible, nothing. And he knows he's in trouble now because he just trusted Christ and got saved. Listen, he went to a church with this man that led him to Christ. And it was a charismatic church with the rock and roll music and everything else in Minsk, in Belarus. This guy doesn't know anything. He just got saved. He's a Muslim, who used to be. And he said, I'm sitting there in church and I'm thinking, I don't know anything about churches, but this doesn't sound right to me. He knew nothing. No Bible, nothing. And he thought to himself, I want to know God and the truth, and now that I'm a Christian, this is wonderful, but this doesn't look right to me. He's walking across an area there in Minsk. A young man stopped him, Scott Alice, one of our missionaries that we support here, contacted this young man, just met him on the street, talked to him, invited him to a Bible study at an independent fundamental Baptist church in a little apartment in Minsk in Belarus. This guy who knows nothing, Wiley, knows nothing about the Bible, walks in, sits down in a little Bible study in an apartment in Minsk in Belarus, and the first time someone opened the Word of God and began to teach him from the Bible, he said, I knew I had found what I've been looking for. Can I ask you a question? How does a Muslim from Nigeria, Africa, and communist Minsk, Belarus find Christ and the truth? Big accident, huh? Big mistake. You know what he did? Listen, he started listening. Better than that, he started hearing what was told him. And he said, then when I read the Bible, I understood the power and the truth of it. You know where that young man is now? He's back in Nigeria and Africa as a missionary, starting churches in Nigeria, Africa. So question, if that reached that simple principle of just hearing what the Word of God had to say, help this young man settle it in his mind and convert him from Islam to Christianity to becoming what he should be as a Christian and now serving God in his life, don't tell me that won't work for you too. And it won't work for us. I said this book is a powerful book, but we've got to hear what it says. Otherwise, if it sits there like furniture in our house, it will do you no good whatsoever. You can sit there and scan over its words like you're going over like a scanning machine of some kind, and it'll mean nothing to you until you hear what the Word of God has to say. Deep theological truth to settle doubts about the Bible? Hear it. Number two, deep theological truth. Are you ready? Believe it. See, look at 1 Thessalonians 2 again. Now look at the statement. It says, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, which you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. They said, that's the Bible. You know what that meant? That simply means they believed what they read was God's word. Say, but Pastor Johnson, you mean you understand everything in the Bible? Didn't say that. I believe it, though. I believe it's all God's word. I don't know there's a heaven, but Jesus said there is. I believe there's a heaven. Oh, so I understand. So if you believe it, then it becomes true. No, it's still the truth, no matter you believe it or not. Are we clear about that? We can sit here this morning, question, criticize, doubt, bring up all the lists, Google it up, criticism of the Bible. There's literally hundreds of websites, and they'll say this is can't be so because of this is so and that so, and you can check out every critic of the Word of God if you want to, and the truth is it doesn't make any difference. But it's interesting to me. I could take the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, about that thick, going to bring it this morning, it's too big, and flop it on that and read you some definitions from that dictionary, and the average person in this room wouldn't question whether that was the definition for a word you'd never heard in your life just because it was in the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. read you Joel Wisniewski's home phone number from the Chicago telephone book, and you'd believe it in a minute, but just because you read it out of a phone book. Can I ask you a question? Why do we have more confidence in a Chicago phone book and the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary than we do the book that is in fact and indeed and in truth the Word of God? See, it's not because of the questions about the Bible. It's because you and I just simply won't believe that it is in fact and in truth God's Word. Believing it doesn't make it true. Believing it makes it true to you. That settles it up here. It's very basic. Well, it's kind of where you come down to the principle in Hebrews chapter 11. God tells Noah to build an ark. And Noah builds the ark. Never had rained, never seen a drop of rain on this planet, and there had never been a flood. Noah builds the ark. It takes him over 100 years to build this ark. With Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, Ms. Ham, Ms. Shem, and Ms. Japheth. Those eight people, they're out there building this ark. All they simply did was operate on what God had told them to do. They believed him. They looked like fools for almost 120 years, building a great big wooden boat out in the middle of nowhere, telling everybody. By the way, he stood on the scaffolds every day. Noah did preach righteousness, told them. He had a date right, by the way. Tell them that the flood is going to come. You better be in the ark when it comes. He had it right, but he didn't know. He just believed. And because he believed, Noah looked like a fool until the first raindrop fell. And then Noah was brilliant. So did Noah have to wait 120 years to find out, or did he believe God and he was prepared when it came? Do you understand the difference? That book, listen to me, that book becomes, it effectually worketh also in you that believe. I just have a hard time with faith. No, you don't. You have a hard time placing your faith in the right place is what it is. Come on, folks, look at me. So we Google something, all right? We're going to look it up. Boom, boom, boom. We Google something. Boom. 52 websites come up about the life expectancy of the common household ant. 52 sites. And you go down those 52 sites and read everything about the common household ant and how long is it expected to live. And you'll spend hours. That's why some of you need to get a life. You probably need to shoot your computer is what you really need to do. You could actually go back to living and communicating with human beings. But the truth is, and we'll read all 52 websites about the life expectancy of the common household ant and believe every cotton-picking, stinking word about it when all you have to do is, and his expectancy is over. That's it. That's all it takes. How long does a house fly live till I can get the fly swatter? That's how long. Yeah. They tell us we evolved from monkeys, and we used to have, you know, monkey has the tail and everything else. They tell us we evolved from monkeys, and the reason we don't have tails anymore is because we don't need the tail. Not true. Two armloads of groceries, you walk up to the door, tell me you don't need a tail. Just turn around, whoop, open that door, you're in. That's not true. But we'll believe that. They'll show you all the evolution of people, you know, the amoeba in the mud, and it goes all the way through human beings, and then some of them look like rock stars, some of them are. And then you get all the way to, you will say, oh yeah, there it is. You believe that? No, it's not a lack of faith. It's a lack of misplacement of our faith. But it's effectually working in you, the Bible says, that believe it is in fact and indeed God's Word. Well, I have to research this thing out, Pastor Johnson. Okay, so you need fact to have faith. Doesn't work like that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm sorry, friend, but this book is not a book for theologians. This book is for common people, just who have simple faith already, and they decide to trust the Word of God and what it tells you. You believe it, and it'll settle your doubts. You'll walk away with a full understanding of you're looking at somebody who was raised in a public school system, taught that I come from monkeys since I was a little kid, taught humanism and every kind of ism you can think of. When I first walked into an independent, fundamental, soul-winning, separated King James Bible preaching, hell, fire, and damnation Baptist church, that's where you are this morning if you're a guest and wondering, that when I walked into a church like that and I got up there and talked like the Bible was everything and that's the way it is and this is the way God says it is, I sat back there and I said, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Then he started preaching on long hair on guys. I was the only guy in the room with long hair. So I'd flip my hair. Here you go, Rev. Watch this, baby. Woo! Now it hurts my neck to even do that. I sit back and I thought, man, what is he talking about? Because we were taught to question everything except what they told you. You didn't get to question that, right? It's like people who are tolerant, how they're so tolerant of everything but you for being intolerant. Hey, if we're supposed to be tolerant of everybody, then be tolerant of intolerant people. Okay, never mind. The point is, some of you folks, you really need to get dialed in, okay? Yeah, okay. No, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to convince you by facts. There are facts that prove the Bible is the Word of God, but that's not the answer. The answer is it effectually worketh in you that believe. You believe it, that book opens up, becomes the living fact, truth, God's Word to you. So I told you it's a deep theological lesson this morning. Hear it, believe it. Last point, to settle all doubts about the Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Hold your place in 1 Thessalonians. Go to Revelation. It's not Revelations. It's a revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, first chapter, third verse. So if we hear it honestly, genuinely, sincerely, hear the Word of God, that book will start doing something in your heart, in your life. Guaranteed, because it's powerful. Quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Then we believe what it tells us. You look at it and say, okay, I don't get it, but I believe it. I accept that. Then third thing you have to do is this, to settle all doubts about the Bible. Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Okay, here. Read, hear, do. See, it effectually worketh in you that believe. Effectually means it does something in your life that's effective to make you do something. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. To show. Now we got all these Bible theologians and knowledgeable people who know all the stuff about the Bible, and they're not doing a thing with what they know. No practice to their principles. The Bible comes alive in your life when you put it into practice. Oh, my soul, it starts to change some thinking. It changes the heart and the mind and the life. The Word of the Lord, the Bible says, the Word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. How did a hippie boy from the 60s and 70s, raised in California, this boy right here, become an independent fundamental Baptist and a right-wing nut? How does that happen? God has to change your thinking. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He'll change your thinking, your wanting. It'll all work, but you got to put it into practice. This book, listen now, if it doesn't move you to do anything, it's not going to change a thing in your life. The testimonies of the Lord are wise, making wise the simple. Our young people who grow up in church and things, people think, well, these poor kids, you know, they grow up in church and Christian school and homes and stuff. They don't know what's going on in the world. Yeah, that's like a bad thing. That's so bad. They don't know who Lady Gaga is. Poor kid. Stunted in life. Never found out. Won't God in life and won't know how to function. When the Bible says the testimonies of the Lord are sure making wise the simple. It is still true. I don't have to stick my head in the sewer to know it stinks. Huh? And the truth is, dear people, Noah's building that ark. And he finishes. The Bible said the door is open. God sends him two of all the animals on the earth at that time. Seven of the sacrificial. They get inside. Bible tells God said to Noah, come inside the ark. God was in there, called him into the ark. Noah comes in. God closed the door. Sealed it, and they sat there for a few days. Everybody's outside laughing and thinking, Noah is such a fool. I wonder what was going through his mind. Did I get this right? Was it build an ark or go to the park? Did I get it right? We're sitting here with all these smelly animals. The thing's closed. There's no way to get out. And then it starts to rain. Now Noah's faith was effectually working in him because he believed. Look here. You sit on the sidelines and wonder why Christianity doesn't do anything for you. It's because you're on the sidelines. You got to get this book into your life and practice what it tells you. You got to do to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Get busy with what you know. The wonderful thing about the Bible, and one of the great proofs that it is God's word and not man's, is this book always points you to God and to Jesus. It always points you to Him. All the other books claiming inspiration of God point you to a man or a religion or an individual. This book always points you to God and to Jesus for salvation. Look, if man wrote the Bible, I guarantee it wouldn't say that we're all sinners going to hell. I guarantee it wouldn't be that. And if it did say that, it would always put an exclusion clause. Everybody's a sinner going to hell except me and my family. We had excluded ourselves in there somewhere, somehow, some way. But this book nails our hide, doesn't it? Tells us just what we are and just what we need to know in our lives. Salvation is through Christ and Christ alone, period. The Bible proves that. And it effectually worketh in you that believe. It'll be effective as soon as you get busy with it. It's just a matter of being doers of the word and not hearers only. Pastor Johnson, I go to this church, I listen to what you say. I don't know. The problem there isn't so much what's said. I know the preacher's not what everything it should be. I don't misunderstand the point. The problem is, if we had the most eloquent speaker on the planet stand behind this pulpit, you still wouldn't get it until you were willing to hear it and believe it and then do something about what it tells you to do. You got it. It's blessed are those who read, hear, and keep. Many of us today, we're right here. We hear it. We believe it. But every time it comes to where we're living, our living is, we say, whoa, wait a minute. That's a little too much. That's a little too far. You're asking a little too much here. We never preach more than what the Bible says. Believe me, there's enough in here to keep us busy. We don't have to make up stuff. There's plenty in here. But when you draw the line and stop, that's when you start to have doubts about things in your life. But it's the doubts about your living, not the book. The question is this morning. Keeping the word of God is the difference in how this book comes alive. And I trust you, my friend, no one has ever failed in obedience to God's word. We have failed at obeying, but God's word has never failed. Anybody never has, and it never will. And it comes alive when you do what it says. But the book doesn't come alive. You do. It changes your thinking. Oh, yeah. This old liberal, mighty hippie boy sitting in the Fundamental Baptist Church in 1975, I'm sitting there listening to this guy preach, and I'm thinking, whoa, that man has lost his mind. He's crazy. He needs a shot or something. He's got the rabies. I don't know what his problem is. Who is this guy? Where does he come up with this stuff? I sit there and I listen. I got saved when I was a kid. It wasn't that I doubted the Bible. I didn't know about that guy up there. And I thought, what? You what? No, that ain't in there. And he said, turn to so-and-so. And I go, it is. Right there. Uh-oh. Better turn that page. Wait a minute. Ooh, it's right there too. Oh, my. And that book. But I could have sat there. I'd still be sitting in Bible Baptist Church. Not called that anymore. Bible Baptist Church in the court of Alta Arden and Bell in Sacramento, California. I'd still be sitting there going, uh-huh, sure, right, yeah. Go ahead, Rev, try that one. Yeah, you can't prove that. Oh, you did. Okay, well, then you can't prove the next one. I'd still be sitting there if it didn't say, okay, that's what it says and that's what I'm supposed to do. Then I will follow what it tells me. I don't follow a man. I follow this book right here. You hear me? And it is, in fact, and in truth, God's word. That means it's God telling me what to do. Your safety is making sure that we prove it by this book. Then you're fine. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.